This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick, and time now for the Department of Corrections.
Do we have to play that music, Alex?
Steve, it's in the contract.
Okay, just once.
Yes, the Department of Corrections, where you, dear listeners, hold us to task for our errors, omissions, and other transgressions. Here, as always, is Officer Steve Proffitt, Day-to-Day Senior Producer and proud warden here at the department.
Alex, hot springs or warm springs?
Well, either one sounds good about now.
Yeah. In a story about the resurgence of interest in the healing properties of naturally heated spring waters, reporter Frank Browning slipped up somewhere between warm and hot. Here's that section.
Thermal spas were once a mainstay of U.S. medical care, most famously for Franklin Roosevelt at Hot Springs, Georgia.
The correction. It's Warm Springs, Georgia.
But.
Oh, there's a but?
Yes. According to listener Cass Robinson of Hot Springs, Arkansas.
She writes, FDR visited my hometown for the same reason, to bathe in its famous natural hot waters.
And Alex, from hot water to heated political debate and the phrase litmus test.
This was part of Mike Pesca's report on the use of this scientific term in the political appointment process. These days, it's usually focused on a nominee's views on abortion rights. Where did Mr. Pesca go astray?
Well, he didn't, but one of his subjects, one of the people he interviewed, did. Mike was wondering if one could actually use litmus paper to test a politician, perhaps by putting the litmus paper in their mouth.
Generally, we don't recommend using the papers in vitro, as they call it.
That's Steve Grebe. He's sales manager for a company that sells litmus tests, and he got his Latin a bit mixed up.
You know, I took Latin, but
Well, Mr. Grebe said in vitro. That would mean in glass, as in a test tube. What he meant to say was in vivo, in living objects. That slip produced this listener comment.
Would I buy a used car or some litmus paper from this individual? Probably not, until he reviews his Latin. Best, Dr. Julian Fisher, Brookline, Massachusetts.
Okay, what else you got, Warden?
Well, another doctor, Douglas R. Scott, heard a small terminology error in an interview you did about stress and aging.
Now, I recall the story. This was about how stress really does seem to age you, but it was very technical. Scientists measured something called telomeres, and our guest, Rob Stein from the Washington Post, described them as being like the plastic at the end of a shoelace that keeps it from fraying. But these telomeres are on your chromosomes. Anyway, what did I do this time?
Let's listen to the offending passage.
Is it that the telomeres, in fact, contribute to the aging process, or is that one symptom, but probably there are other things going on as well that would be associated with stress if we could find them?
Well, the problem here, Alex, is your use of the word symptom. According to the good doctor, a symptom describes something a patient feels or talks about, while a sign is something one has observed or noted.
Okay, I'll note that and add that Dr. Scott closed with this. I would have no doubt experienced premature aging had I not written this correction. My telomeres, thank you. And Dr. Douglas R. Scott, my telomeres, thank you.
You don't have to be a physician to offer your own corrections, clarifications, or opinions. Just put them in an email and send them along.
The address is daytoday@npr.org. Okay, Officer Steve Proffitt, that's it for the Department of Corrections. Am I a free man?
Yes, Mr. Alex, and you have a good day, sir.
Bad.